Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on episode 32, season 3 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Evening, Richie. Well, the NRL's all done and dusted with two entertaining finals on Sunday. Firstly, how was your weekend? And secondly, what did you think of the weekend of the NRL?
Weekend was very good, mate. I was on call for work, so just a lot of driving. How was your weekend? It was good?
Yeah, it was good. No work for me, so I just watched footy.
Yeah, that sounds better. Yeah, it was a couple of good finals, mate. One I thought was pretty predictable, in particular the men's one, but hey, it is what it is. Panthers go back to back.
Definitely, yeah. I think, to be fair, both the men and the women's finals were reasonably predictable. But yeah, entertaining nonetheless. And while we're here live on Wednesday evenings, 8 p.m., you can also catch our show via the podcast on iHeartRadio at your convenience. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know on the week that was rugby league, including our top stories of the week, a review of the grand finals and our picks. We'll then answer some questions from you guys as well as some questions we have for each other. We'll then discuss the going-ons from overseas and the World Cup before ending the night with a preview of our annual awards show next week. So remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show, and we may as well just jump straight into the top stories, Richie.
Let's go, mate.
All right, first up, we'll talk about it. The Panthers created history by winning the NRL Grand Final, the New South Wales Cup, Jersey Flag and SG Ball all in the same season. The depth they have is crazy. It should see them stay a powerhouse for some time. What's your thoughts on the effort of basically dominating every competition there is?
Yeah, remarkable. It's unheard of to achieve that. So pretty amazing feat accomplished by the Panthers organization, and hard to see that being equaled anytime soon. And like you say, I think they're set up for a bit of a dynasty.
Yeah, it's a fantastic setup they've got, and it didn't happen overnight. It's been a very long process, and so we could potentially see it happen at other clubs, but if they decide to start working on it now and emulating that same model, we won't see this type of level from any other club for at least another 4 or 5 years. But they've kind of bottled success right now with how to do it properly. Developing your youth seems like a very straightforward approach and very simple, but not a lot of teams do it. So it's very clear to see that it works if you do it right. So, fingers crossed a few other teams emulate it, because worst case scenario or best case scenario is it's just going to have more talented players around that can go to clubs, because every club's going to be looking at this Panthers development pool and trying to pick all the players they can out of it. Next bit of news, Paul probably jump in at some point with this because it's rugby union related, but there's been lots of swirling rumours about Roger Tuivasa-Sheck throwing away the black jersey and coming back to the NRL. And he's actually come out and addressed it now and said the rumours aren't true. He's got no intentions of leaving his contract early and joining the Roosters. I've said it a lot on the show that I believe he will be getting back in the NRL after the Rugby Union World Cup. But what's your take first on the rumours of him going back to the Roosters, which makes no sense to me? But do you see him going against that word and jumping ship and coming back to the NRL early?
No, I don't see that happening, mate, especially not to the Roosters. Just look at the depth in their outside backs at the Roosters already. It's pretty crazy what they've got there. The James Tedesco's, Daniel Tupou's, Joseph Suali'i. So,
yeah,
it's crazy the depth they have in their outside backs. I don't see a place for Roger really. And he's gone over to Union to fulfill a contract. I don't see Roger as the type of guy to. Well, he
did. You can't say that. He already did.
I can't. But I don't see him as the type of guy to do it twice in a row.
Yeah. He's not the type of guy to break two contracts in a row. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. And Jacko, and C. Simon's here too. Yeah, Jacko said, RTS has said he's not returning to NRL anytime soon. Yeah. His contract's up with Union after the World Cup, and they'll be open. And, if he's in a World Cup side, an All Black side that manages to win a World Cup, what else is there really for him to do there? Because you know he will make more money in the NRL. But Paul, you're the Union tragic here. So what's your take on it?
Well, my take is that he'll make more money in Japan or France playing Union. Yeah. So I can see him heading over there for a year or two. And trying his hand at one of those markets. To be honest, I don't know how much of whether he wants, or him and his family want, of travel, or whether he wants to stick around in this part of the world. But if he wants to travel, then he's not going to go over to Super League, is he? In the UK. So his only way of traveling with this kind of work is to go play in Japan or France, or potentially the UK, but really Japan or France, playing rugby union. So I think that's what he might do.
Yeah, but we just have to wait and see what happens. It's a long way away, but thought we'd better mention it. Next bit of news has a bit of to and fro here. There was a lot of talk about a lot of people wanting the NRL Grand Final to be moved to an earlier time slot rather than the 8 p.m. I think it's 8. Is it 7 or 8 in Australia? It's like 9:30 in New Zealand. A lot of people want like an afternoon game where you can watch it and it's not too late. You can celebrate afterwards, or you can still get a decent night's sleep before you go to work the next day. Peter Vlandis has come out and said no. He said the nighttime grand final will stay, as it's the best time to promote the game as more people watch sport at night. However, this year's grand final was the lowest rated of all time, with only 1.6 million viewers. We talked a little bit before we went on air. I said, I understand the time. It's a pain in the ass as a New Zealander here with the time. I don't think that was the issue for the low views. I believe it was just due to the fact that everyone rightly assumed that the Panthers were going to win quite handily. So I called it before we went on air. I called it the All Black effect, where you go into a match knowing that like the All Blacks are going to win easily, so you don't bother watching. I think it could be a bit of that. If you're not a Panthers or Eels fan, you kind of know it's a one-sided contest. You'll just see what the score is later. But what's your thoughts on it, Richie?
I'd love to see afternoon grand finals again, but I also would love to see Tina Turner singing before the final and shoulder charges and punch-ups every 5 minutes, so I'm probably the wrong guy to ask because I'm stuck in the early 90s.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's here to say, and basically what Fox says goes, because I know we talked about the NRL wanted to change the Friday night games. They've been told they're not allowed. And they've said, okay, sir. And so what they say goes, if they want to move the grand final to a different slot, that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be the same time slot for a long time to come anyway. We'll go to the next bit. It was interesting. I don't really know what to make of it, but it came out this week that the NRL is no longer allowing competitive games in junior rugby league in Australia, at least. I don't know if it's transferring to here. Until the age of 13, that means that you cannot win or lose games until the age of 13. They've also banned tackling until midway through under sevens. What's your take on that?
Tackling, the tackling one's not so much of a surprise to me because it's similar rugby union over here. They play ripper rugby up until under eights and. Then I think under eights rolls around and each team has to do a little tackling toolbox before the season to learn the correct tackling techniques and whatnot. So that's probably just a safety thing for the kids. Not allowing wins or losses up until 13 is a bit weird for me though.
Yeah. I don't mind the tackling one. I think it makes sense. Wait till a little bit older so you can teach them the proper technique. And they'll actually understand and listen. But yeah, the not allowing wins or losses, I find a bit weird. I don't get it myself.
Mm.
Paul, understand, he's a union person. So in union, there are no winners or losers. They're just all losers generally. So.
Oh, the game's the winner. The game's the winner. Well. On the tackling one, I was talking to a coach who coaches American football a couple of years back, and one of his things was allow the kids to tackle when they're young because they basically don't have the strength or coordination to do any real damage, but they learn how to fall and how to go with a tackle. And then when they're old enough, that means by the time they are old enough to tackle properly and to potentially do damage, they've already learned how to fall and how to take contact. So, again, that's from a coach. I don't know what about the scientific kind of research into this. But I kind of found that to be kind of like that approach where, yeah, whilst kids aren't going to hurt each other too much, why not let them get used to the rough and tumble side of things?
Yeah, I can see that side of the coin as well.
Yeah. And, Mark Roberts said it's PC rubbish gone mad to stop kids from winning and losing. Yeah, I just don't understand the thought process behind it or what it's actually does. Like having a game and saying no one won or lost, I don't understand the end game to that.
One of the complaints in union has been the kind of professionalization of first 15 rugby by putting it on TV, and so I guess from that point of view, taking the fun away from it and making it sort of too professional and too much about winning and losing.
It's not meant to be fun, Paul. Winning and losing.
Absolutely. I've forgotten all about that, Brad. But for you, it's not about winning and losing on the scoreboard, is it? It's about winning and losing, but how many players are left on the pitch fit?
Exactly. It's who's left standing. it's official. That's what's going to happen. So I just thought it'd be an interesting point to put on here. We'll go into the next bit. Cowboy Hamiso Tabafadal, the Hammer, is rumoured to have signed a 3-year deal with the Dolphins. It sounds like it's signed, sealed, and delivered. There's just been no official announcement from the Dolphins. It sounds like it's all
currently pending. You said Hammer from Ruin Hammer. It's off to the Dolphins.
No. This is the Fast Hammer. No offence, Mark. it's basically it sounds like it's pending Cowboys actually releasing him, but it sounds like it's all set to go ahead. Another signing for the Dolphins. They're still not getting the one that they want, but they've got a fullback now. Apparently, that's why he's been signed, to be fullback. I don't know if that means Jermaine Osako is going to move to a wing or what have you, but what's your take on this signing?
If he signed as a fullback, I'm not sure. I'm not completely sold on Tabuai Fidoa as a fullback, to be honest. I think he can definitely do a job there. If you're looking at the other fullbacks around the competition, I don't think I'd throw him in my top five or anything like that. I mean, he fell.
He lost that spot at the Cowboys.
Exactly. Yeah. He fell behind Drinkwater this year and never looked like getting it back. I think he's talented, extremely fast. Definitely would be decent in the senses or on a wing, but yeah. But the Dolphins need some backs, so I think until they pull off that monster signing, that's a handy one to pick up anyway, the Hammer.
Yeah, definitely. And Jacko said that Wayne Bennett would be great for the Hammer. And the Cows are mad for letting him go. Yeah, I kind of agree with both. I think the Cowboys, it would be handy to still have him there. Maybe not as fullback, but he's got speed. And there, he'd be very handy for them in the back line. But yeah, Wayne Bennett will do wonders for him. But Simon also has mentioned a question, which is my next bit of news about the Dolphins, their jersey. I've sent Paul the image of the beautiful jersey. There it is. It hasn't been well received, is probably fair to say. I'll let you comment on it because I'm currently sitting here with a picnic blanket behind me that I love. Yeah. So I don't know if my opinion on the jersey would have any merit. So what is your take on this abomination they call a jersey?
Yeah, it's not the nicest, is it? It's a bit of an eyesore. I read somewhere on Facebook someone said it looks like a vanilla Coke bottle. I can see that, yeah. I wouldn't be rushing to the store to buy it.
No. I think it's a lot of people, the biggest issue with it is that vanilla cream color on the bottom of it. It just seems to throw it off. If that was white, I think it would be better. I know a lot of people were talking about them, you know, clashing with the Dragons, but I think if you had it like that, with just the red, one big part of red and one big part of white, it might be okay. And I think their away strip is black and red, so when you're playing the Dragons, you could just wear your away strip in the black. It'd be fine, but yeah, I'm not a fan of the cream. It's a no from me.
Are the Dolphins or the Kings?
I know. Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing too. I people are gonna think they're the Kings, apart from the little dolphin on the chest. But
I mean, it doesn't even say dolphin underneath dolphin, does it? I mean, there's just a
You know what there's a picture of a dolphin though. Come on, you know what a dolphin is, right?
Okay, but no, that is one of the worst jerseys I've ever seen for a sports team. It's appalling.
Yeah, and I see Jacko says, who cares about jerseys, fans going on about them, but just go out and win and then the sales will be great. To be honest, I think if the Dolphins won every game next year, I still wouldn't want to go out and buy that. I would probably buy the away strip, the black and red one.
Yeah.
We're
Warriors fans. We're all about the jerseys.
Yeah, it's all we have. And Simon's also said the Kings could actually be a great name.
Yeah.
Simon said the Kings would actually be a great name for a sports team. Yeah. It would be better than being the Dolphins. Just call them the Kings. And then you could change the color scheme. But who buys opponents usually? That's true, Jacko. I think the closest I got was buying a Cowboys one when they did the Marvel themes, and the Cowboys one was a Thor one. That was the closest I got.
How dare you?
Who people might be looking at the backdrop of my studio.
But so I'm sure we'll see more feedback on the jersey. They've already done the press release, so this is how it's going to be. I don't see them making a change. at least not after the until the next time they release jerseys. They might do a new jersey every year, you never know. But yeah, we'll see what happens there. But we'll go on to some signing news, Richie. Warriors have signed Dragon Jackson Ford on a 2-year deal, and they've also released Aaron Penny. First, what's your take on the signing of Jackson Ford and the release of Penny?
You'd be stoked, Brad. We've signed and sealed a Dragon.
Dragon, yeah.
Yeah, your favorite team. I haven't really paid too much attention to Jackson Ford to sort of form an opinion on what he might do for us. But now that he's coming, obviously I'll pay a lot more attention to him. But adds a bit of depth to our pack. And Aaron leaving, it's a shame. I would have liked to have seen what he could do second year around. Obviously he didn't really hit great heights this year, but not to be. Back to Melbourne, the word is, I believe.
Yeah, rumours seem to be he's going back to Melbourne. And Jacko said he was disappointing. He didn't deliver much. Yeah, I don't think he delivered what a lot of us expected. We'll see when we do our show next week and we go over our preseason predictions. I had him as signing of the year. I definitely lost that one to you because you picked the Dally M as your signing, I believe. So, it's disappointing, but I suppose with the Penny thing, it all depends on who they bring in to take that slot. I know I've heard rumors that there's another Dragon potentially. I don't know how to take that because at the moment everyone does this person is now following the Warriors on Instagram, so it means he signed. I guess it could have that effect, or he might just like the Warriors. I don't know. Time will tell. We'll probably have news on it next week. If it is going to happen, we'll probably hear about it very soon. But good luck to Aaron, and good to have another forward in the depth with Jackson Ford. So he's not a Dragon anymore, so I'm allowed to like him. So we'll see what happens. But more, we've got James Tamo. We talked about it. He finished up with the Tigers and hadn't officially retired. There were still talks that he might want to have another run around. There are talks that he is going to join the Cowboys on a 1-year deal. What's your take on James Tamo going back to the Cowboys?
I think he'll be fine. He still looks like he might not be the force he was, you know, 5 or 6 years ago when he was still making New South Wales rep teams, but I think he's still got a bit of juice in the tank, and he's a bit unlucky to be playing where he was this year. But I think under Toddy Payton, he might slot into a proper rotation quite nicely.
Yeah. And Jacko said Murchie's leaving as well. Yeah, Murchie's already gone. They haven't announced anything yet in terms of where he's going, but it sounds like he's going to go to the Dragons. There's just been no official word, but he has officially left the Warriors camp. And last bit of news before we get into the Dally M's, Richie. Josh Curran has been in an altercation at a nightclub that resulted in the assault of a teenager. No further details have developed as of yet and been released, but the Warriors have confirmed that they've notified the integrity unit, and we'll just go with whatever happens there. Bit of a surprising thing. It seems out of character if what they've said is what's happened. But what's your take on the Curran news? We'll obviously have more next week to talk about it, but thought we may as well mention it now since everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, like you, I think it seems a bit out of character, but also a little disappointing. Curran, obviously one of our better forwards, and someone that Warriors fans have really taken a liking to for the past couple of years. So after a pretty big year, individually, disappointing that it would finish this way. And yeah, hopefully in the wash up, it's nothing too bad. But I think from what I understand, he's made a 16-year-old lose a few teeth, so doesn't sound too flash either.
Oh, he's Australian. He probably didn't have the teeth to begin with, but and Simon said the teenager's probably the wrong place at the wrong time. No defense for whatever, like if no. what happened, it's not exposed. But yeah, Jacko's just said what I was about to say. What's a supposed 16-year-old doing in a nightclub at 3 a.m? But yeah, it doesn't excuse the fact of what's happened if it is in fact what happened. I don't want to come out here and say word for word this is what happened because we don't know. There'll be more details, I'm sure. But yeah, not a good look. And we're only a couple of days after the season, so we're off to a cracking start of the off season. But yeah, hopefully it's not too bad because I'd hate to see Josh Curran out of the game.
Yeah, and a bit like Ryan Nixon, a friend of the podcast on the union side, who put, guys, you've got the whole off-season to misbehave. Don't waste it all in the first few days.
On Twitter,
which is,
it's a good point.
The season's barely over. We've already had all this stuff. I guess, is it better or worse than last year where we had people, where basically by this time we already had several players snorting cocaine, putting that on social media. So are we trending up or down on misbehaviour straight off of grand final compared to last year?
It's just standard league off-season stuff.
They're just getting better at hiding the drug stuff. They probably are still doing it, to be honest. It's just they're not filming themselves and putting it on social media anymore. They've learned that. The NRL did a couple of sessions with them throughout the year to explain social media is great for introducing fans into the sport, but you don't have to record everything.
And also selling products for people who sponsor you. It's great for that sort of stuff. Put those on that other people have written for you and photos they've carefully curated for you, but don't do your own stuff.
Exactly. But I'm sure there's going to be more news developing as the week goes on. So we'll obviously most likely be talking about this again next week. But I thought we'd just mention it. We are going very long, which is what we do. But we had the Daily M's. Basically, just after we finished our show last week, the Daily M's got underway. I've got the list of all the winners, so I'll just run through them, Richie, and we can just discuss our thoughts on them. Daily M medalist was Nicho Hynes. Captain of the year was Isaiah Yeo. Rookie was Jeremiah Nanai. Coach was Todd Payton. Try of the year went to Scott Drinkwater. Tackle of the year went to Mitchell Moses. And then on the women's side of things, the NRLW Daily M was Racine McGregor. Captain was Isabel Kelly. Rookie was Jesse Southwell. Coach was John Strange. And then the try and tackle of the year both went to Taryn Aiken. What's your thoughts on that? I know we have spoken about this already with Ruin Hammer last week. But what's your take on any of those? Any surprises? I was a bit surprised about Nicho Hynes, but all the rest, I think, kind of were what I thought were going to happen.
I'm fine with Nicho Hynes. I think I pretty much would agree with most of those. Try of the year, tackle of the years, you can always debate a little bit when you look back on all the contenders. I would have thought you'd disagree with the NRLW Daly M. Brad, I thought Millie torn for you. Surely.
Yeah, I'm torn because Millie's the greatest player, but Racine McGregor's a Kiwi. So it's good to see a Kiwi win it again. So, it's fine. These halfbacks always get the la-di-das over props anyway. So kind of used to it. Anything else you want to add to that before we move on?
No. Go on, mate. Cool.
We'll go into the injuries. There was only one, Bailey Simonson. I always butcher his last name. Apologies. He suffered a shoulder injury during the grand final. Nothing too serious. We're going to talk about the tackle that it happened in anyway, because it was it. If the Dalliums were a little bit later, that would be tackle of the year, I think. But it's nothing too serious, and he's going to be able to rehab it as he was not selected for the Kiwis. So he'll rehab it, and he'll be back for the Eels in round one next year. So, horrible time to get the injury, though, Richie.
Yep, for sure.
And we'll keep the Eels going with Naughty Boy.
Hopefully, in the middle of the season kind of thing. I mean, horrible target injury at the end of the season when you've got plenty of off-season to rehab it.
In the grand final, you know, you don't want to sour that memory of a historic loss for your team by getting injured. we'll keep with the Eels once we're in Naughty Boy Corner because there's only one. I think it's the first time all year we've only had one person in Naughty Boy Corner. But Ryan Madison, he was cited for a crusher tackle.
Had one game.
Come on, Brad.
We had seven sin bins in one game only a couple of weeks ago. Ryan Madison was cited for a crusher tackle in the grand final, and he was actually given the choice to take a $4,000 fine or a three-match ban. And this has got a lot of controversy, a lot of people upset. He's elected for the ban. He said, I'm going to keep my money and I'll have 3 weeks off. A lot of people are unhappy with that, saying you should pay the money and not punish his team. I don't mind what he's done. I looked at it and if I got told you were going to fine me some money or I could take 3 weeks off work, I would take the 3 weeks off work myself. He basically said he thought $4,000 was too much of a fine for what happened. I kind of agree. I felt like the crusher tackle that he was involved in, the player was backpedaling, and a lot of those this year have gone. They've kind of let them go. And yeah, Simon said he would take the ban as well. Yeah, it seems silly to me.
Do players still get paid while they're banned? I mean, surely they should be.
Yeah.
Should be banned.
Yeah, because. They're only banned from playing, so they're still going to trainings and stuff. And it's that cliche: you pay them to train, they play for free type deal.
If I was the team, I'd fine him for taking the ban, $4,000.
I think I don't recall another time where you've been given the choice. They've either fined you or they've banned you.
Yeah.
So I feel like. Yeah, most people. And the way, because of the rules they've done, the preseason games count. So he could technically be ready for round one if they have three preseason games, or be there round two.
I feel like 90% of these crushes that get called for penalties are crap nowadays anyway. It's like teams cottoned on to the fact that it's something the refs were looking at a couple of years ago and trained their ball runners to back into certain tackles and then hold their neck.
Yeah. But yeah, the NRL just changes, like Simon said, they just change the rules to suit what happens at the time. But yeah, I thought $4,000 was a lot. When you see what some other people were getting fined for things that I thought looked a lot worse. And Jacko said 4K when you're on huge money is not a lot. The key to making money is not to keep giving it away, though, Jacko. So, you know, that's for a 4K that can earn interest in the bank instead of going to the NRL. We'll see what happens. I'm sure it won't be the last time we see the NRL decide to throw this pick your poison type situation out. And I would pretty much assume that most players would take the Jacko said, and you gamble. I didn't say I have money, Jacko. I'm sure most of the players would take the time off.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Depending on the situation, if it was at a make it or break it part of the season where you need to be out there, they would do the fine. But if it's start of the year where everyone's kind of on the playing field. Yeah, I think they would go with the same option. But we'll crack on to it, Richie, because we're almost at, we're at half an hour already. Grand finals. We'll start with the NRLW. The Newcastle Knights defeated Eels 32-12. I'll let you take over from there, but give us the rundown of what happened.
All right. So, as you say, Knights 32, Eels 12. Brad was very happy because that's Brad's NRLW team, the Knights. It was 7-2. Kiana Takarangi grabbed a double. Imanita Paki, Romy Tizel, Tamika Upton, Jesse Southwell, Yamsen Clydesdale all grabbed tries. Two tries for the Eels, Brooke Anderson and Samaima Taufa. 14-6 at halftime to the Knights. And I think, as we both sort of picked, Brad, and as most people would have predicted, the Knights went on with the job and got the win. They've been pretty dominant all year. The Eels only just sneaking into the finals off the back of one win and points differential. So I think for the Eels to make it that far is a pretty sound effort. But, yeah, the Knights capped off a pretty dominant season.
Yeah, I thought it was a great contest. I thought the Eels put up a great fight, and but they kind of ran out of puff towards the end, and with the Knights just being so strong. Feels like a broken record and a cliche now, but Millie Boyle, she dominated the middle. I know you guys all make fun of me thinking she's a great player, but, you know, she ran for 268 metres. That was almost 100 metres more than the best at the Eels, which was Kennedy Cherrington, who ran for 175. When she's hitting those big numbers, you know, it's easy to see why the Knights are being successful, but she doesn't do it on her own. The rest of the pack just does so much. And you could just see it. It was going to and froing, and then you saw the Knights just kind of went up a gear, and they just kept pushing and pushing, and that just flowed on to the back line. The halves have been doing so well this year. Jesse Southwell, you know, the rookie of the year, she's still, you know, 17. She might be 18 now. She plays very well in the halves. It's a tricky position for someone so young to be throwing in there. But yeah, she took a hook, line, and sinker. And their back three were just dangerous. All three of them scored. Kiana Takarangi and Tamika Upton created so many opportunities for the Knights. Upton's just always in there getting her hands on the ball, and if she's not going to score, she's going to make sure someone else does. So it was a great bounce back for the Knights. We've talked a lot about Millie Boyle and Upton joining them, but they ended last season, which wasn't that long ago because they've played two seasons this year. They ended last season was 0 wins, 5 losses, and bottom of the ladder. So to go from that to the next season winning with only one loss is a great turnaround. And, yeah, Upton and Boyle have helped, but it's just a great, great story, I guess. But the Eels, they did well, I thought. They shocked everyone getting to the grand final, as you said. They snuck in to the finals on points differential. But I think they did themselves proud. I always get her name wrong, but you said it, Samaya Taufa.
Samaya Taufa, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. She's led the side well. She's the captain. She led the match with tackles as well. She made 40, scored a nice sneaky little try as well. But yeah, I think it was just a few poor defensive reads towards the back end of the second half kind of blew the game apart. But I think you can expect them to build some confidence from this season and actually be a force in 2023. But yeah, it was just a great contest. I think I saw from Simon earlier, or it might have been Jacko, saying it was a great game. It was, I think the NRLW has continued to deliver quality football. And I just can't wait till the Warriors have a side back in there again. Because yeah, it was just a fantastic game.
Yeah, yes, it was. It was a nice, really nice appetite whetter for the next game, which was the big one. Obviously, the Panthers doing what the Panthers do. They win the title 28-12 over the Eels. 5-2. Stephen Crichton, Brian Tuttle, Scott Sorensen, Brian Tuttle with the second, and Charlie Staines grabbing the Panthers 5 tries. Clint Gutherson and Jake Arthur going over late in this one to bring the score back a little, but Gutherson and Arthur scored in the 76th and 77th minute. So prior to that, pretty much the whole game was dominated by the Panthers, 18-0 at halftime. Just a typically suffocating sort of performance, I thought, Brad. They broke the shackles in the 10th minute with Crichton scoring, and it just seemed like the set after points, they just roll down the field, just keep the pressure on, and the Eels could do nothing.
Yeah, I hate the Panthers, man. They're just too bloody good.
So do I.
It was a dominant display. And yeah, talking about their sets after scoring. I can't remember who it was. There was someone that did the stats, you know, like after scoring, they would do like the next set was 60. Then the one after that, it was 100. And then it was, they were just all over the Eels. They never looked in doubt. Showing that I'm not just biased with Millie Boyle, James Fisher-Harris and Moses Leota were aggressive in the middle. They were churning out the meters, but they were also squashing the Eels with the defense. Moses Leota was hit merchant out there.
Yeah,
he had me worried that he was going to miss the World Cup with some of those hits. But thought, yeah, great effort from them, and that it's a cliche, but it's true. It's just if those big boys in the middle do their job, it makes everyone else's job easier. And Cleary, I'll be controversial, I thought he was a bit quiet in this match, but he did everything that he was meant to do. He just, you know, he wasn't out there scoring three tries. I had him at the TAB for the Clive Churchill, so he screwed the pooch on me on that one. But yeah, he piled on the pressure with bombs as well. He had the back three of the Eels, you know, nervous all night. But you go to Brian Tottle, he was a monster. He ran for 299 meters, scored that double, and made three line breaks. But Dylan Edwards, the Clive Churchill medalist, he continued his stellar season. Great display, including that tackle that injured Bailey Simonson, replicating Scott Satter's tackle on Toddy Byrne in 2003.
Yeah. What a tackle.
Simonson was going down the sideline and Dylan Edwards did what needed to be done and got him. And yeah, hard to fault anything from the Panthers. They did miss 34 tackles, but they got the tackles that counted, hence the scoreline. So, you know, when their goal line defense, and basically they were able to keep the Eels out of their half. So they might have missed a few tackles here and there, but they got the ones that counted, which is all that counts. And I guess you could say they may have switched off mentally at the back end of the game, letting those two tries from the Eels come in, but the game was well and truly over. So you can kind of give a bit of leeway there. But the Eels, I thought, to their credit, I think they showed they were here to play in the first 10 minutes. But once the Panthers started scoring, they never looked like they could get back into the fight. They missed 48 tackles and made 12 errors, which did not help them. But they were just beaten by a better side. Disappointing for the Eels, and I've said it all year. This was the Eels' last chance, I believe, to win a premiership for some time. I'm going to stick with that. The key players that they're losing are going to leave a massive hole in the squad. But to be honest, I didn't expect them to make the grand final this year. So who really knows what will happen in 2023. But congrats to getting there. I've supported teams that have made the grand final and had not the best showing. It's disappointing, but it's at least you got there, I guess. That is probably not the right attitude, but yeah, it's just against this Panthers team, it's kind of hard to fault anyone for losing right now, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly right. They're just, especially this time of year, the past 3 years, they've conditioned themselves to this time of year. And you mentioned you thought Cleary was a bit quiet. I don't think he needed to be anything more than what he was, because just they're just, yeah.
Anyway, I needed that TAB bit.
Well, I don't mean to blow my own trumpet, Brad, but on Ruin Hammer last week, I believe I said Dylan Edwards would win Clive Churchill. So if you just listen to me, your TAB balance might be a bit healthier.
Yeah, I know. And I see Rob's here as well, and he said the Eels can't win next year either. At best, they can lose to us in the grand final.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I'd take that too, Rob. But yeah, I thought it was a great performance by the Panthers. It's just, yeah, hopefully they have some competition next year. But anything else you want to add before we move on, Richie?
No, mate. Let's move on.
All right, so we'll move on to the
Panthers.
Yeah. The final results of the finals tipping, if Paul can bring it up. We already knew who was going to win. It was all about who was going to be last. So Richie got 1 out of 1 this week. He picked the Panthers. I got 0 out of 1. I picked the Eels. And Simon got 1 out of 1. He picked the Panthers as well. So Richard took out the final series, was 7 out of 9. He only got 2 games wrong. And then Simon and myself were both on 3 out of 9. And I've just picked them because of the alphabet. So thank you, parents, for naming me a B.
Controversial,
but I will take it. So yeah, disappointing for me and Simon there. We kind of talked about it before we went live, Richie, that, you know, if you get a couple wrong in that first round, you're kind of making some risky calls, the rest just trying to catch up, which didn't help me, and I will always make excuses when I don't do well. But I will be very vocal when I win, which will probably tie into a question later on. But yeah, fantastic. Again, well done on winning the final series. And hopefully next season, someone can win both the regular and the final season together instead of switching like we've been doing.
Yeah.
But that's it. We'll go into questions. Any questions from anyone, Paul?
Sure. Okay. So, I mean, sort of waxing lyrical about the Panthers now with sort of winning 4 finals over the last couple of weeks and their developments and set up and all this kind of stuff. Is next season essentially who loses to the Panthers in the final?
I think they lose a couple of pretty key players, Viliami Kikau, and in particular Epi Korosau, I think, does a lot of great work in the spine, getting the big boys rolling forward. I know Brad loves the Panthers big boys, but I think he plays a pretty massive role. So maybe not necessarily who loses to the Panthers. I mean, you never know what can happen, but I think they'll still be very much up there.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say they go into 2023 as favourites to win again, just due to the history. But yeah, losing Kakao, losing Coruscant, they are massive losses. But, you know, we've seen this team come out there and win with Sean O'Sullivan in the halves. No disrespect to Sean O'Sullivan, but, you know, if you can do that, I'm sure they'll find other players that can fill in. And that's why that development, or that theoretically there should be players in that New South Wales Cup team that just won that are ready to step up to the next level. And yeah, that's kind of what Rob said. He said the production lines aren't ready. They've already got the next Kakao and Coruscant ready to go.
Yeah,
they'll be there or thereabouts for a long time. And I think that's what you see. You can't always guarantee they're going to win it, but because, you know, things happen, but they should always be in the conversation. They're now, you know, they're with the Storm, you know, where the Storm, they might not win it, but you're always going to say they have a chance. The Roosters, for the most part as well. They're always teams that you're like, I don't know if they're going to go all the way, but they're definitely one of the 3 or 4 teams that have the potential before the season even starts. But yeah, hopefully not. I think I might pick the Panthers as my new Dragons team next year. Spoilers for season 4. Panthers might be my hated team.
Now, as you were talking about the Dragon so much before, I've got your little Dragon picture. So, yeah, just looking at some of the outright winners on the TAB for 2023, Look, the Warriors down there at $46, which I think
maybe put your money on it. Put your money on it, guys. Warriors.
So we are the one.
So
so the comment in the chat earlier about them losing to the Warriors next year. So yes, maybe not. But yeah, look, Rooster. Yeah, as you say, Panthers, Roosters, Storm, the three at the top there. Is the three that you kind of already mentioned. So unsurprising there. The Eels in already down to fourth, even though they made it this year on that one. So, but look, at least the Warriors aren't like the Dolphins at $56 or West Tigers at $51. It could be worse, folks.
Definitely. And yeah, Rob's saying that he hopes Uncle Ivan eventually gets sick of winning premierships and comes home to get us one. Yeah, how many premierships can you win before you want a challenge? That's how you gotta talk in. What's better than being the first coach to win a premiership with a Warriors, a Dolphins? You know, that's kind of the draw for those teams. And yeah, Mike said the one New Zealand Warriors. We are the one. That is what it is.
Well, Ivan was involved with two grand finals for us, one as a player, one as a coach. He just had to leave us before he started winning them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jacko's also said Panthers are losing their two assistant coaches, which everyone seems to overlook. Yeah, that's a big loss, but you remember they also went into this season after losing Trent Barrett as an assistant, and they did okay. I'd say they did better than Trent Barrett. But it is, it's all that stuff behind the scenes plays an integral part as well. So we will see. But your question for me, we'll go with that, because that kind of flows into this anyway.
Yes, so we're not really moving on from the Panthers quite yet. So a fair bit's been made of the post-grand final celebrations from the Panthers, and apparently lacking class and humility. So just wanted to know your thoughts on some of the aftermath from the celebrations.
I personally don't like it, but I feel very hypocritical because I know how much of a sore winner I can be.
I was looking forward to something like, oh yeah, Brad, Mr. Gracious in winning here. I'm looking forward to seeing his view. Wow, okay, I was shocked.
Yeah, I'm not very gracious in defeat, and I'm very bad at winning. So I feel very hypocritical here. I think it adds fuel, I think, for other players. You see the Panthers carrying on like children, because they are children, most of them. That gives you more fuel going, I want to make sure that they don't get to do that next year. So that's what I know some people are going out and, you know, ripping them. I personally don't like it, but I didn't win it. So, you know, I have no say in how they decide to celebrate. You know, I'd much rather hear that they're being, you know, lacking humility in doing that than going out and getting into bar fights. You know, so it could be worse. But yeah, and Jacko's kind of saying it's kind of what Panthers have no humility or class at all, but they don't care. It is what it is. Yeah, they don't have class or humility, but they know that they can win. So it's the only way you're going to see it stop. You know, we had the same conversation last year when they did the same thing. So you know, this is what's going to happen when they win. So you don't want to see it. Make sure that your team wins. I don't know. I don't like it, but I'm not sitting here with a picket saying they can't do it. They can celebrate however they want as long as they're not breaking the law. Doesn't mean that we have to like it.
Yeah, I also kind of think that after they win, they're on a bender all night, and then you throw cameras in their face and microphones in front of their face when they're in that sort of state. What do you expect? You're going to get some funny statements. Still, you'd love to see Luai get a smack in the chop, saying, I don't advocate violence, but
No, I was talking off air with some friends. Yeah, about Luai, I personally don't like him. I think he's, you know, an entitled prick. And players like that learnt to show some respect, because back in the old days, those types of players got punched in the face when they were running their mouth. You're not allowed to do that anymore. So you do see players like that do get to be a bit more thing. I think I talked about it at home, said we've all played with players like that. They have all the talent in the world and they know it, and they like to tell everyone about it every waking second. But they always got put down a peg or two by one of the big boys. But you can't see that anymore. Yeah, not advocating violence, but you know, if an NRL player wants to just, you know, take a sin bin, just give him one. You give him one, he'll never do it again. It's the golden rule.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah.
Problem is, he's got Moses Leota and James Fisher Harris to back him up. So if you go do it, make sure you're quick and you can get away from those two.
Fair enough.
But yeah, that's it. My question for you. World Cup is next. We can forget about the Panthers now. We've started seeing the team list coming out. Who do you think will be the biggest surprise of the tournament? We'll obviously do a show about the World Cup at some point soon. Has to be soon because it's not that far away. But yeah, which team do you think will be the biggest surprise of the tournament?
Obviously, most World Cups you're looking at Australia, Kiwis, probably next tier down in England, but we saw last World Cup the emergence of Tonga. But I think with the players that have been choosing their heritage countries over countries like Australia, I think Samoa might be the big surprise package this tournament. Some really amazing players have put their hands up, and I think they've got a pretty complete squad now. I think they might come out and surprise England in their first game of the tournament, and I think they'll definitely get to the finals, and from there look out.
Yeah, I'm going to steal your one. I know you are biased with Samoa, but I think we're expecting the Kiwis, the Kangaroos, England, and Tonga to do well in this World Cup. Samoa was never in the conversation until we see that team they've got. They've got a very good team now. So I think they should do some surprising. And they could be the Tonga of this World Cup, where they go a lot further than anyone predicted. So, yeah, it'd be great. Great for the game, as long as they don't affect the Kiwis campaign. It should be great. But I feel like it's going to be the first World Cup in some time where you legitimately have you know, four or five teams that could do it. Because, yeah, Rob's mentioned Papua New Guinea is a dark horse. We haven't even talked about them. Mark Roberts has said Aussie's team looks kind of weak. I think it's the weakest Australian team we've seen for some time, but you can never rule them out because of the quality players they do have in there. But it's definitely a weaker team than normal because they, all their players want to play for the island teams now, which I know they all hate right now, but I think it's great for the overall commitment of the World Cup, making international rugby league what it meant to be. And yeah, Mikey Mitchell said the Reggae Warriors dark horse. It'd be a great story. You know, we need a Cool Runnings too. So the Jamaican team going all the way in the Rugby League World Cup would be a great story. And Jacko said the Kiwis Aussie semi-final will be a bash up. Whoever wins will go into the final bruised and battered. That is going to be a big factor. The way it's worked, it will be, if everything goes well, it will be New Zealand, Australia in the semi. And yeah, the team that will end up against the winner of that in the final, you'd think would have an advantage due to the fact that they're going to batter and bruise everybody. But hopefully the Kiwis are on top of that. And yet Simon said that Italy might be a dark horse too. Yeah, you don't know. But we don't have long to wait. So any more questions before we move on from anyone, Paul, that I missed?
No, but I do think you just named every single team that the competition has been dark horses. So
yeah. Oh, no. We didn't say Lebanon. Lebanon aren't going to be a dark horse. So we'll go into overseas rugby league and the World Cup now. So the Lee Centurions have sealed their return to the Super League with a 44-12 win over Batley in the Betfred Championship Grand Final. They won they won 26 of the 27 matches this year. But I saw Simon mentioned earlier about the Super League making changes. I missed it. I think Simon, there we go. So they're doing, they're going to be removing promotion relegation in time, replacing with a system where teams will be graded as A grade or B grade. A grade not to be relegated to second division. Not really sure how it's going to work out, but we know on here I've been a long advocate of not liking promotion relegation due to what we've just seen here, where Lee basically annihilated everyone in the second division and have gone back up, and Toulouse, you know, were the whipping boys in the top in their first year and have been sent back down. Anything to change it would be good. But we'll go World Cup now. I haven't got a lot on here because I want to do a World Cup show separately. But Channel 3, I think Simon mentioned earlier, but Channel 3 are going to have delayed coverage of all the New Zealand fixtures. I know for sure. I assume they're going to have delayed for the finals, similar to what they did with the Rugby Union World Cup that Spark had last time. There was a thing showing the times. The times aren't too bad for the New Zealand games. They're like 7:30 in the morning. Now that I understand how time zones work after daylight savings. But the Kiwis are playing 6 a.m. on Sunday against Leeds in a warm-up for the World Cup. And Thomas Luluai will be joining the Kiwis and leading them out for his final ever match before joining Michael Maguire in the coach's box for the World Cup. What's your take on the Kiwis having this little warm-up against Leeds and Thomas Luluai getting a call-up for the one game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty decent idea to have a wee warm-up prior to World Cup, and nice for Tommy Luluai as well, a legend of the New Zealand Rugby League scene. So nice, be a nice wee send-off for him. Be pretty stoked for him to get to run out there with the boys and be sent off like that. After not winning a comp to send him off.
Yeah, definitely. It's great to see him go that way. And it'd be great for him to be in the coach's box, because I know he's going into coaching with Wigan. So to go in and do some coaching stuff with the Kiwis will be great. Mm-hmm. And Simon said the Kiwis game will be on the Sky Sports YouTube channel called Sky Sports Next. I did see that on an email. And he said he was meant to say Leeds Rhinos instead of Friday, because it's 6 a.m. Sunday morning. So if you want to watch it, 6 a.m. you'll find it on YouTube, 6 a.m. Sunday morning. But that's all I really had on that stuff. So we'll talk about next week now, Richie. So obviously there's no games to really talk about. We'll obviously cover what happened in the Kiwis defeating of Leeds, I'd assume. Don't want to disrespect Leeds, but It's a game, the Kiwis against Leeds, so they should win it. So next week will be our standoff awards night. We did it last year, so we thought we may as well bring it out and repeat it. We'll be awarding our yearly awards as well as looking back at our preseason predictions, which I've already started on the graphics, Richie, and it doesn't look that great. It makes you look really good. Oh. You've actually done quite well in the predictions.
Good.
I've done horrible. But yeah, it'll be a great night to discuss how right or wrong we were at the start of the season. Some of the awards that we give out, we've got Player of the Year, Most Improved Player, Most Improved Team, Worst Haircut, and Best Facial Hair. I think I'm in contention for both of those awards. So we'll see what happens. And then we'll obviously have to start talking about what we're going to do for the World Cup, because we haven't really discussed that yet. But I assume the week after that we might do a World Cup preview or something of that nature, because the World Cup starts the 13th.
Yeah.
It starts next week, so we might have to do a World Cup preview / awards night next week. I don't know. We'll discuss it, and we can let you guys know on the social medias when we figure it out. But anything else you want to add before we go, Richie?
No, not really. It's nice to finish the NRL season. We can stop talking about the Panthers mostly, although I'm sure we'll be dishing out a couple of awards for some of their players next week. But thanks for the chat, everybody.
We're also joining Ruin Hammer tomorrow night for their grand final review and a look into the World Cup with them. So tune in at the really late time. Yes, Paul again. It's the difference when they pay and you don't, you know. We've got to pay the rent somehow. What time? It'll be 10 o'clock, won't it, Richie? We got the timings wrong.
Yeah, I believe
last week because of daylight savings. So 10 o'clock New Zealand time on their page on Facebook. So if you're interested, go check us out there. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Are you going to say something now, Paul?
I'm going to say, if you want me to pay these guys for what they do, then become a supporter of New Zealand Sport Radio, patreon.com/NZSportRadio, and then maybe I can buy these guys a coffee once a year if enough of you do chip in. So do head over there. And also, I'm looking at doing – I want to get the guys on to do a show only for supporters. That will be their worst or most disliked Warriors team of all time. So get onto that one. I know they did the best Warriors team of all time on Ruin Hammer, but hey, we want to drag things down as well and do the down and dirty, not just keep it all positive. So do become a supporter of NZ Sports Radio.
Yeah, we're going to burn our bridges so we can guarantee almost no Warriors will ever want to be on our show by ripping them a new one by picking the worst team. Thank you all for joining us tonight. And for your weekly update on Rugby League, tune into the show next week on 8 p.m. here on Facebook or at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Cheers, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Paul, for your help in the back. And cheers for joining me again, Richie. And good night, everyone.
Cheers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.